Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We are sponsored today, once again, by Simply Safe Home Security. SimplySafe.com/ricochet. We'll have more to say about them and the services they provide later in the podcast. Jim, the categories today are not just different, they're almost even hard to define. We have one that's definitely crazy. We know that. The first one is both good and bad. And the second one is just different. Could potentially be good. Could potentially be just weird. Anyway, on to the first one. Let's stop trying to diagnose them and just talk about them. This is courtesy of the Fox News Channel. The headline, North Korean missile launch likely a failure. That's obviously good news. The bad news is they keep launching these things. The Pentagon now assesses the North Korean missile launch Wednesday likely was a failure. The missile did not go as far as intended. Officials with knowledge of the latest intelligence report said it did not reach Japanese waters and may have pinwheeled in flight, according to one official. Jim, I don't know a lot about missiles, but that probably is not the way it's designed to do.
You realize all you want to point it at the target the whole time. It's really not supposed to spin around or do cool stuff like that. Most missiles want to take the most direct route to the target.
This comes right before Trump meets with the Chinese president. That timing's probably not coincidental. The missile is also apparently an older Scud, not the advanced land version of a submarine-launched ballistic missile, as first assessed by the U.S. Pacific Command last night. So they also fired a missile when Trump was visiting with the Japanese prime minister back in February. So this seems to be part of an emerging pattern whenever Trump meets with leaders from that part of the world. So, Jim, obviously, good news that it failed. Bad news, they keep rattling the saber here. And I guess additional good news, they launch missiles like a tomahawk. Like a literal tomahawk. Not a tomahawk cruise missile, a literal tomahawk.
Yeah. You can kind of picture it spinning through the air. So here's the problem, or here's something to worry about. On the one hand, you feel like, this is North Korea. They're at it again. They do this every couple of months. Greg, I remember reading, I want to say, you know, it was U.S. News and World Report or Time, one of those news magazines back in the mid-90s about the threat of North Korea, concerns about war on the Korean Peninsula, descriptions of how quickly and how bad it would get very rapidly. Seoul, as we all know, is not too far from the border. They don't need special missiles to hit it. Their artillery could probably hit it, and a lot of people would die very, very quickly. Now, that's coming up on almost 3 decades ago. So we've kind of been living with this status quo of North Korea intermittently doing something aggressive and provocative and destructive pretty regularly. And I pointed out in the Morning Jolt today that, you know, it's 2010. They actually sank a South Korean naval ship. So their idea of saber rattling is to take the saber out of the sheath and stab you, right? But they don't, you know, their idea of an acceptable way of sending a message is not the same as that of the West or South Korea. Now, is this a sign of something genuine escalation? Well, there's an interesting story in the Weekly Standard from a guy who says, look, if you look at the rhetoric, they're talking a lot more about reunification. And they don't mean like, someday we'll get to do this at the peace treaty table. They mean actual conquest of South Korea. On the other hand, this is North Korea. They're kind of crazy. They're always claiming that, I think it was, the Kim Jong-un's father once did a round of like 30 shots in 18 holes of golf and hit like 4 holes in 1 or something. So they're crazy and they're constant liars and all that kind of stuff. Having said that, when they launch missiles like this, it does appear their missile program is getting more advanced. I saw the latest estimate is we think they may have 8 nuclear weapons. We're not sure that those nuclear weapons work correctly. But here's the thing. If they think they work correctly, they're going to act very differently. It does feel like that the danger on the Korean Peninsula is rapidly ratcheting up here.
No, it certainly does. And obviously their leader is even crazier now than Kim Jong-il, which is a tough bar to clear. And Kim Jong-il was certainly crazier than his old man, Kim Il-sung. And it just appears as we transition to our not what sure to make of this, Martini, that the Trump administration has clearly decided that whatever we were doing with North Korea isn't working. So we need to do something different. The question is what that different policy might be. Rex Tillerson, of course, is the Secretary of State. He's already been over to the Far East to talk about this threat. And CNN and others are scratching their heads, as are we to some extent, about a 23-word response from Rex Tillerson to the latest North Korean missile test. CNN's getting all snarky about it, but here's the statement from Rex Tillerson. North Korea launched yet another intermediate-range ballistic missile. The United States has spoken enough about North Korea. We have no further comment. Unquote. So CNN, Chris Saliza just went over there from the Washington Post. He's saying that's a total of 23 words. If you're counting, 23 words that leave you more confused when you get to the end of them than when you started. Is Tillerson trying to talk tough, or is he refusing to give North Korea the attention he thinks they're trying to grab in advance of the U.S.-China meeting? Somewhere in between, neither or both. Jim, it could be a couple different things here. First of all, Trump has made a lot of talk back on the campaign trail and since about how he thought Obama was making a big mistake in talking about timetables and when there might be offensives in Mosul and that sort of thing. So he's just not going to have his administration talking about necessarily what the policy might be, might put the North Koreans on edge a little bit, or else they just don't know what they want to do yet. What do you make of this?
I read that CNN report. I was like, I too noticed there was a really snarky tone to it. And I say, oh, it's Chris Saliza. Okay, that explains a lot. And I get along well with him, but I just kind of like, oh, that's the way he writes. And perhaps I'm not the right person to throw stones at someone else for writing snarkily, but I just going to observe that. Yeah, this is a strange statement from the U.S. Secretary of State. On the one hand, you can kind of see the logic here. North Korea does these sorts of things in order to get attention. Back in the 1990s, they were, you know, the Clinton administration was more than willing to give them pretty generous food aid and other forms of aid, basically attempting to purchase good behavior from the North Koreans. And lo and behold, they cheated on the agreements that were secretly developing nuclear weapons all along. So, you know, that's why most administrations have been wary about going down that course of action. But North Korea constantly thinks if we behave badly enough, we will end up getting someone somewhere will be frightened of us. Someone will want to start making concessions. There are times the South Korean's government has been more than eager to give them the benefit of the doubt. So on the one hand, Tillerson might be like, this is a toddler throwing a tantrum. We're just going to ignore him and not give him what he wants. And I understand the logic of that. It's very strange to see this in practice. It's very strange to see the Secretary of State say, yes, they've done something which is a direct provocation and a threat to our neighbors, and we're just not going to talk about that anymore. traditionally, there's some value to the denunciation. Now, maybe we've reached the point where we feel like there is no value to the denunciation. But the other weird thing is that, well, somebody else in the administration doesn't think we've said enough about South Korea. It's an unidentified senior White House official speaking to CNN today who says, you know, look, the clock has now run out and all options are on the table. It says this is a matter of urgent interest for the president and the administration as a whole. And they emphasize that all options are on the table. When you say all options are on the table, you presume military options are on the table. And it just seems so somebody thinks we got to say stuff about this at the White House, but Tillerson doesn't. And also, this doesn't occur in a vacuum. Rex Tillerson did not take foreign press with him on his first foreign trip. Or I think he had maybe one reporter, Aaron McPike from Independent Journal Review. She did not file reports during the trip. She was not acting as a pool reporter for everyone. This is a big change from previous behaviors of secretaries of state. And, you know, you have folks on the right like Elliot Abrams saying, whoa, 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 Mr. Tillerson, communicating to the public and answering questions, that's part of the job of Secretary of State. It's not just negotiating behind closed doors. You are in some ways a salesman for the administration's foreign policy. Communicating to the press and to the world is a big part of the job of the Secretary of State. So when we saw it was dealing with Syria, not North Korea, but when we saw Nikki Haley issue a statement last night that was just blistering the Assad regime, no pun intended, for the use of chemical weapons, I kind of wondered if Nikki Haley is kind of turning into the de facto Secretary of State. That if we have one person who's going to be speaking for the administration's foreign policy, you certainly are hearing a lot more from Haley than you are from Tillerson. So I characterize this one as the underserved martini. you know, Secretary Tillerson, I think there's supposed to be a little more here. I'm going to send this back to the bar because it feels a little light, shall we say. I don't usually send drinks back, but this is one where I understand the philosophy of Tillerson, but I think when a regime like North Korea's does something outrageous and provocative, we really should be coming out and saying this is outrageous and provocative.
You know what's a good gig, though?
What?
Rex Tillerson's stenographer.
Ah!
Take a message. Okay,
there
you're done.
You go. Any shorter and it would be an emoji.
maybe he's just trying to get with the millennial crowd. He knows the attention span isn't that great. Yeah. Throughout three sentences, everybody's kind of knows where you're coming from. Anyway, let's talk about Simply Safe Home Security. When you order your Simply Safe Home Security system online, you are taking the first easy step to protecting your home and your family. With entry sensors, motion sensors, and glass break sensors, soon you'll make your home a burglar's worst nightmare. And you'll be done setting it up in under an hour.
Simply Safe comes pre-programmed to work right out of the box. Just plug in the base station and it will talk you through the whole process. Seriously, even someone who isn't the slightest bit handy, like myself, can install it. The entire system is wireless, so there's no need to drill holes in your walls or do other permanent damage. And once you're all set up, Simply Safe makes it just as easy to stay protected month to month. There are no long-term contracts, no hidden fees, and it's just $14.99 a month for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, professional monitoring and emergency dispatch service.
Fantastic rate. Don't wait another day to take your home safety into your own hands. Get Simply Safe. Go to simplysafe.com/ricochet right now to get 10% off your home security system. That's spelled SimpliSafe.com. Go now, simplysafe.com/ricochet. Let's talk about the official crazy martini for the day. The left, particularly Black Lives Matter people, are very, very upset with Kendall Jenner, that political provocateur who is the spawn of
part of the ever-growing, ever-more covered Kardashian clan.
Yes. Okay, here we go. This is NBC News. If the Black Lives Matter movement were led by a 21-year-old white supermodel armed with a can of fizzy soda, then maybe everyone would just get along. That's the vision presented in Pepsi's new ad featuring reality TV star Kendall Jenner, which has been met with widespread condemnation, with critics accusing the drinks giant of appropriating a nationwide protest movement following police shootings of African Americans. In the ad released Tuesday, Jenner is in the middle of a photo shoot when she happens to notice a protest march making its way down the street. It's not clear what the smiling, attractive demonstrators are upset about, the only clues being their placards reading peace, love, and join the conversation. But Jenner decides to join them anyway, beckoned into the throng by a handsome man with a cello. She rips off her blonde wig, wipes away her lipstick, and joins the marchers. The beaming, breakdancing protesters are a far cry from the often fractious demonstrations that have broken out across the United States over the past few years. In Pepsi's version, no one seems too worked up about anything. Jenner fist bumps one of her recently adopted activists before grabbing a can of Pepsi from a well-stocked ice bucket. Then comes the ad's climax, and perhaps the part that has caused most uproar. Jenner reaches the remarkably calm front line of the protest. She spots an officer, walks up to him, and hands him the Pepsi. He takes a sip. A woman wearing a nose ring and a traditional Muslim headscarf takes a photograph. And everybody cheers. The ad has sparked accusations that Pepsi has appropriated a racial protest movement to sell a global fizzy drinks brand. Many people believe the final scene in particular is a direct reference to one of the defining images of the Black Lives Matter movement, a photograph of Leisha Evans, a 28-year-old nurse being detained in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You've got folks like Charles M. Blow, who we've talked about glowingly on this podcast, saying it's time to boycott Pepsi. You've got other people on the left posting pictures from the civil rights era in the 60s with police beating black demonstrators and saying, does this guy deserve a Pepsi too? Jim, once again, the left, nothing's not an outrage to the left.
Well, let's start at the top here, Greg. Charles Blow should not be boycotting Pepsi because he doesn't like their ad. He should be boycotting Pepsi because it tastes like swill, okay? those of us with taste buds generally prefer Coca-Cola products. Let's get this out of. And so granted, it's not like Pepsi can advertise, "Hey, our soda tastes good." Your mileage may vary. But they go, like, first of all, this is like a 3-minute clearly designed a web ad. Clearly this is designed to get people talking. And dear listeners of the Three Martini Lunch, let me tell you, very rarely do I say these two sentences in the same order. This ad is terrible. You have to watch it. it's so bad. It's really kind of hysterical. It is a Dagwood sandwich of bad, in which one bad idea gets piled upon another, and then they put in another bad one, and they put bad sauce on top of it, in between two bad slices of bread. I'll just give you some of the highlights. I put a couple of these on Twitter, and I have a feeling I'll be ranting about this throughout the day. For starters, Greg, I don't know if you've had a chance to see it and watch it. It begins with a guy practicing his cello. alone on the top of a skyscraper in LA. Now, I don't play an instrument. I don't know where I would practice this. Like this, I don't know if it's supposed to be, he's supposed to be isolated or he's above it all, whatever it is. Somebody said, oh, it's like Fiddler on the Roof. It's the cello on the roof or something. So it's this very, it really belongs in a Michael Bay movie sort of thing. I think this is where the aliens arrived in Independence Day. But then down at street level, there's a protest going on, but it's the most strangely generic protest we've ever seen. It's very diverse. Everyone is happy. There are lots of peace signs. There's no stop the war. There's no stop drone strikes. There's no stop anything like that. There's one ad. There's one sign which is very visible, Greg. It says, join the conversation. Greg, have you ever seen a protest in which the big rallying cry is, join the conversation?
No.
There are some in Asian languages and things like that. It's kind of sort of Black Lives Matter. It's kind of sort of the Women's March right after Inauguration Day. As somebody put it, it's like the stock photo protest. it's generic. It's just like, we're protesting something. We're protesting something. So this protest marches down the street. And then Kendall Jenner, who admittedly I would not be able to pick out of a lineup, but apparently she's doing a photo shoot in this like the storefront area right along the street where the protest is going on outside. And there's no security. Greg, how many years do you think it's been since Kendall Jenner has gone anywhere without security and a complete cordon and velvet rope lines around her?
Good decade, probably.
Right. I mean, you know, like celebrities and models do not do photo shoots in urban storefronts with no security as there's a giant protest going on outside. All right. So clearly this is taking place in some sort of parallel universe where this sort of thing happens. Now, meanwhile, the Muslim photographer is looking at photo sheets and prints and negatives of some sort of, I assume this is her work. Presumably, maybe she's looking at somebody else's. But she's looking and she gets really frustrated. And so finally, she becomes overcome with it and she sweeps them all off the table. She's angry. Now, as far as I can tell, this is her work. She's really mad at her own work. She's really disappointed in herself. There's something, you know, so it's really more of an existential crisis for this Muslim woman photographer. But she hears the protesters and she decides to go outside. I don't think this is really going to help her if she's that upset with her own work. I don't know if it's out of focus. I don't know if it's, you know, poorly shot or something. For whatever reason, she's got real problems with her own work, but she decides, I'm going to go out and join the protest. Kendall Jenner, some guy, the cellist, has now put his cello into his thing. He's got it on his backpack. He's walking by, and he just kind of noddingly invites to Kendall Jenner. And they make eye contact. Now, you know, Greg, that's not often that celebrities welcome eye contact from just strange guys on the street.
Or secretaries of state, apparently. Although, no, that's been debunked.
But somehow this eye contact is so meaningful to her that she decides to walk away from her modeling photo shoot gig, right? I guess when you're Kendall Jenner, you don't need the money, fine. But it turns out she's been wearing a blonde wig this whole time. So she takes off the blonde wig, hands it to a black woman. I'll let you just decide if you think that's, you know. This is apparently the Black Lives Don't Matter rally. I'm a celebrity, hold this, you know. And she marches off in her, now somewhere along the line, she's in this silver dress in the photo shoot. But somehow she changes by the time she joins the protest. She wipes off her lipstick, but there's no smear. By the way, for about 10 milliseconds, you get a picture of two trans people in this protest. So Pepsi's got them, but we're not going to show them too much because, you know, maybe you wouldn't want to drink Pepsi that kind. You know, so we are literally, you know, it's like the social justice warrior checking the box. We've got them. Nobody can say we left them out, but we're just not going to spend that much time with them. So at some point, Kendall Jenner changes into jeans and casual clothes, makes her way out to the front of this protest, and she has a Pepsi. And this is obviously this Pepsi is now like the holy grail. It is now the most unbelievably important object in this entire generic peace protest. And there's a line of, you know, blue uniformed cops who initially look very tough, but then you look at it and you're like, actually, these are male models playing cops. And Kendall Jenner approaches with the Pepsi. Now, on the one hand, I have to give the generic peace protesters a little bit of credit. They're using good judgment. They are wise. Always send the hot celebrity out first because there's no way the cops will pepper spray her. Okay. Meanwhile, the Muslim photographer is taking pictures of all this. So there'll be evidence if, you know, heaven forbid, the cops beat her or something. But the cop takes the Pepsi from Kendall Jenner. She offers it. He takes it. And this Muslim photographer is just thrilled. This is the most joyous thing she's ever seen in her life. And the entire crowd then begins to roar with applause and cheers because the cop is drinking a Pepsi. Greg, the day that the Bears win the Super Bowl, you won't cheer this loud. And like they're hugging and they're dancing. It's VE Day for this crowd for some reason because this cop has chosen to drink Pepsi. And then the one cop kind of looks at the other cop next to him and kind of gives this sheepish grin, which makes sense if he's like, hey, she gave me her number or something like that, or, you know. But none of that. We don't get any of that detail to this or something. So the closing slogan of this commercial, Greg, Pepsi, live for now. What? That's not ominous, is it? Pepsi, don't worry about the sugar in this. You don't have to worry about long heart disease or long-term health issues. Live for now, because we may be dead tomorrow. So,
peace, love,
there's a
lot
to work with in this one. You know, I guess what's most remarkable about this, what really makes this the crazy martini, is the sense that a whole team had to come up with this. And at no point in this entire process did anybody say, yeah, I don't think this is working out well. This is not the image we want to go for. And finally, my closing message to any company contemplating advertising with this kind of a theme: do you even want to market to social justice warriors? These people are angry and upset and offended all the time. There's nothing you can portray in your commercial that will not anger, upset, and offend them. You shouldn't be advertising to them. You should be advertising on the Three Martini Lunch, just like Simply Safe.
Well, good luck after calling Pepsi swill. That's going to be hard for Fred to get that one lined up.
We might turn them down, Greg. We've got to have standards somehow.
Oh, we love our sponsors, though, especially Simply Safe today. We'll talk about them in just a second. Jim, great as always. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And remember to visit our friends over at Simply Safe Home Security, simplysafe.com/ricochet. Do it right now to get 10% off your home security system. And join us again on Thursday for the next Three Martini Lunch.